1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump seeing red over a Canadian TV ad that uses snippets of an old speech from former President Reagan.
When someone says, let's impose tariffs on...
CBS's Jared Hill.
In a social media post overnight, Trump called the ad fake, declaring all trade negotiations are hereby terminated.
One of the president's political foes is scheduled to make her first appearance in federal court today. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It'll be a brief arraignment for New York's top law enforcement official. Letitia James, the attorney general, will be a criminal defendant facing a federal judge in Norfolk federal court after entering a not guilty plea.
Day 24 of the shutdown and a bill to pay some government workers has failed in the Senate. President Trump.
They really should approve an extension, get the country back to work, get the people paid. And, you know, it's very simple.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A dramatic hearing at the state capitol over investigations into teachers accused of misconduct. Savannah Tome Olson takes us there.
We are asking the legislature
Wait a second here.
It all started with a story from the Cap Times last week, which said there were at least 200 investigations into Wisconsin teachers over a period of 5 years for grooming or sexual misconduct that were not made public. It detailed specific cases where school staff did not have their licenses revoked after accusations of inappropriate contact with students. State Superintendent Jill Underley wrote a letter demanding a correction, but also said the state needs to update its laws to make it easier for the DPI to investigate these cases. However, the DPI only has the ability to investigate public school teachers. Private school teachers are not required to be licensed in Wisconsin. The Assembly Committee on Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency held a hearing Thursday asking for testimony from Underley. She chose not to come, which bristled members of the committee. Chair Amanda Nedweski.
Dr. Underley did not even call me. She did not send an email. She did not reach out in any way saying this date did not work for her.
In her place was Tom McCarthy, Deputy Superintendent of Operations. A huge part of this conversation was about grooming, a pattern of behavior that can look innocent. But the goal is to gain students' trust with that innocent-looking behavior in order to take advantage of that relationship.
We see cases where it is a clear boundary violation. Should not be texting that kid at that hour of the night, but they're texting that kid at that hour of the night about making sure they get to school. Is that grooming? Is that a standard?
The legislature cut more than $1 million in funding to the DPI in the latest budget. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Bucks on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks are in Canada tonight to take on the Raptors in Toronto. The team getting word yesterday on MRI showing Kevin Porter Jr. suffered a sprained left ankle in the season opener Wednesday night. No word yet on how long he'll be out. College football, the Badgers head to Eugene to face the number 6th ranked Oregon Ducks. Tomorrow night, they kick off at 6 p.m. Packers head to Pittsburgh tomorrow. They'll play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Baseball. The Brewers have promoted GM Matt Arnold to become the president of baseball operations.
It's not going to change materially, honestly. I've never really been focused on titles at all, honestly. It's just been something where you keep your head down and you work hard and good things will happen. Obviously thankful to a ton of people here, including this guy, first and foremost, our ownership, family, like just too many people to thank, but especially the guys that are here that I work with every single day.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WFHR and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 40s to near 50 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop down to around 32 for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim and he rips it down with a right hand.
The Daggers.
Got it! Count it! And a foul! John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation point.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Again, and that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with new candidate for the Wisconsin governorship, Missy Hughes, former head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and former executive with Organic Farms. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Happy Friday to you. 6:06 on a Friday morning, October 24th, 2025. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us as a podcast or on social media. Thanks for wrapping up your week right here. I got a question for you. Who saw that coming? Let's legalize sports betting everywhere. Let's make it so easy to bet on sports with the prop bets and everything that there's the chance that some players or coaches could try to make a buck off of this. And I know you're thinking, wait, these guys make, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, but the temptation is there. And now there's so much more temptation than ever before. And of course, I'm talking about that Blockbuster story that dropped shortly after we finished up our show here yesterday. And we'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil coming up in about 15 minutes, all about this massive betting scandal involving NBA players and coaches and organized crime families. Yeah. Again, we're not looking for prohibition of all betting in the country. That's not going to happen. But clearly, the reins got a little bit too loose. And so we'll have that coming up for you in just a little bit. Along the way, feel free to join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or, of course, use that Civic Media app. There's so many ways you can reach the show. You can call the show from the app. You can text the show from the app. You can leave a voice note, a little audio message for us through the app as well. Or you can reach us on the Facebook and YouTube pages of both Up North News and Civic Media. It would be great to have you along. All right, we'll have our usual week in review panel as well, talking about some of the day's headlines in our 7 o'clock hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly at 8, and then at 8:35, we'll have Mike Clemens in with sports. A very unusual story from Mike Clemens that I believe our producer, Parker Olson, down in Madison Studio A2, have you heard a little bit about this, the Mike Clemens viral post with Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't know that that originated from Mike Clemens, but yes, I knew about it.
Yeah, so yeah, Mike put up a post a couple years back of of somebody that looked just like Aaron Rodgers riding in the back of a fishing boat that was being towed by a pickup truck or something, and some guy that looks like Aaron Rodgers in the boat drinking beer. And Mike Clemens finally got a chance to ask him yesterday as they get set to cover the Packers and Steelers game this weekend. Was that you? And so we'll find out more about that. We'll talk about the game as well. Packers, Steelers in Pittsburgh. Coverage begins Sunday at 5 on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. And it'll be the first time the Packers have faced Aaron Rodgers in a uniform from some other team. And I think, even though it's a late Sunday game, which, you know, woe is us, pity party for the early risers. But I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in that game. See how he looks.
I'm pretty interested. I I've been very surprised with how good he has looked this season. So that could be very interesting. It seems like he kind of still can move for an old man. So that's pretty impressive.
Yes, it appears he can. And so that really has to motivate, you know, our defense who, I mean, you don't want to be the guys to lose to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, God.
You know, it just makes you look bad. But I worry that Jordan Love is going to try to, like, overcompensate, you know, and try too hard and overthrow people. I'm sure he's heard that a bunch, you know, this week in getting planned for the game.
I don't know. There's something about the game being in Pittsburgh that makes me more comfortable for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
If it was in Green Bay, I feel like it would be a bigger deal because it'd be a homecoming for Rodgers. But
okay.
I feel a little less worried for whatever reason going into Pittsburgh.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you know, again, it's the reason we play the game is to find out what's this guy really got, you know, and does he have it consistently or will he, you know, show his age at some point and, you know, need a walker to get off the field at some point. We'll see how that goes. All right. So we'll talk to Mike about that as well. And, then what else was I going to bring up to you? There's along with the NBA betting scandal, of course, it could not be worse timing because, the season's just getting going. Everybody wants to be excited about it. And so now I have to say it in a rather tongue in cheek way. In other news about the NBA, if you head over to the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com, you know, all kinds of good Wisconsin stories on there, including one about all of the new food and drink options at Five Serve Forum if you're going to a Bucks game. And remember, we did this, you know, before the Brewers opened up their season. I know we've talked about it before, Packer seasons before. So now that we're into the Bucks season, you think you're going there just to watch a basketball game? No, you're not.
No,
it's the whole experience.
It's entertainment.
And you can get the usuals, you know, you can get a brat or a hot dog or whatever. Now there's even, you know, there's some loaded fries on the menu, but how about this? How about the Smokestack 414, that's the area code for Milwaukee, fire roll and giant bone-in beef rib.
Oh.
The 414 fire roll features andouille sausage, pickled celery, onions, peppers, and remoulade on a bun. The giant bone-in beef rib is available for the home opener and a limited number of marquee games.
Oh,
so
it's exclusive.
It's exclusive. And, you know, there's a reason that we don't normally serve bone-in ribs at the game. I mean, again, most people behave themselves, but let's not serve projectiles with our food. You know, what am I going to do with this bone now that I finished this rib? I don't know.
Yeah.
Pull a Jack Black from Anchorman going, oh, this is so filling, and, you know, throw the burrito out the window. So remember, if you get the loaded beef rib, keep it to yourself. Don't share with a friend.
I didn't think that was going to be the major concern with this. I was worried more about, like, bowel movements, not the bone movement.
No. I was worried more about the sticky fingers. It's a bone in beef rib. You know, you're lots of napkins going to be needed for that. Let's see. There's also, Nashville hot wings and chicken sandwiches there. There's a whole new variety of handcrafted dirty sodas. It's so funny that they tried to play this up like, oh, dirty soda. They're flavored sodas. They got flavors in there. Flavors and maybe some things like, you know, cream or things like that.
Yeah.
But there will also be like spiked iced teas. There'll be Jack Daniel's blackberry whiskey. You remember when all you had was like beer, wine, and pop, and that was it, and that was all you needed. And now it's like,
yeah,
let's spike everything. Let's spike iced tea. Let's spike lemonade.
I don't think there's a need for that.
No,
I'm fine with it, but I don't think there's a need.
No, but there's no shortage of temptations there that you will find at Milwaukee Bucks games coming up. Let's see. Well, I mentioned all the things that are coming up on the program, but I neglected to mention that there is the possibility that you can't stick around for all that. I mean, you have a life. You're allowed to have a life. But then there's a way to find out that you don't miss any of these guests. You don't miss any of these segments. And that would be to follow us as a podcast. And to do that, just head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get the podcasts of your choice, and make this one of your choices. Follow along, and you will never miss an episode. While you're signing up for things online,
like this podcast, like this show as a podcast, get our Sunday morning newsletter. I've got to start putting that together after the show here. And that includes our question of the week, which this week was all about online sports betting. What are the odds of that? So let's see how I can nail it for next week here. Again, sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has their new daily newsletter as well. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com to learn more. It is a cold one across the state right now. Temperatures range from 19 degrees in Siren to 39 degrees in Sturgeon Bay. It is 25 here in the Chippewa Valley right now, 32 in Wausau, 34 in Oshkosh. Wisconsin Rapids coming in at 25. La Crosse is at 30 degrees right now. And Hayward is at a very chilly, no, it's not very chilly, Parker. It's cold. It's a cold 21 degrees in Hayward. This is really the time of year where you need to make sure that you have some key pieces of equipment in your car. Right, Parker?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tell the people what you did.
I don't know where the ice scraper is for my car, and I park outside, so I had to wait 5 minutes for my windshield to be, visible.
You wanted to see where you were going?
Yeah, so I can make this drive pretty much by memory, but it helps if I can see.
It does, yes. So you didn't go with the credit card or driver's license scraper method?
I just waited for a couple of minutes thinking, you know what? I'm a little late, but like I'm fine on time. You know, it's not that big a deal if I have to sit here for a couple of minutes.
It's not like anything else would delay you. You'll get into work just fine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What happened next?
There's railroad tracks right by our studios. And it was the longest train I think I've ever been stuck behind. Because it was like 6 minutes long. And Pat, this train was coming from a dark area.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see how much train was left. It just kept appearing and appearing. I'm like, no!
At some point, you're like, come on! And I've noticed that now in Madison proper there. First off, I'm still kind of surprised that they haven't built, you know, overpasses and things for enough of these train crossings. But regardless, these trains, they'll come through, of course, at the worst possible time. And I know it's a matter of safety first. But I also, being the naturally passive-aggressive person I am, believe that there is a certain passive-aggressive nature to some of these folks on the railroad. My dad, you know, worked on the railroad for many, many years. It's like, da-loop, da-loop, da-loop. Oh, look, it's somebody's waiting for us. Slow it down a little bit, Charlie. Slow it down a little bit more, a little bit more.
They do seem oddly slow.
Now blow the horn and wake everybody up. Yeah. But you made it. I mean, how long a delay was it?
6 minutes for the train.
Okay.
I was impressed by that.
It felt like 60 is all.
Yes, it felt very long paired with the lack of ice scraper.
Yes, okay. But you're here, and that's what counts.
Yes.
And we like having that. So tonight there's Badger basketball. They're in the exhibition season right now. So the Badgers will be playing Oklahoma at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum. Coverage begins at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations. Then tomorrow, the Badgers, the football team, will take on Oregon. Coverage begins at 4:00 tomorrow afternoon on some Civic Media radio stations. And of course, we mentioned on Sunday, the Packers taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, coverage begins at 5 p.m. on Sunday because it's a Sunday night football game. Badger women's hockey, they are playing this weekend at Laban Arena in Madison. They are taking on Minnesota State Mankato. The Badger women's hockey team ranked number one in the country, 8-0 on the season. Five of those eight wins have been shutouts. And the Badger women's volleyball team, ninth ranked in the country, will take their 13-3 record out west tonight. They are taking on Washington. You can see that game on the Big Ten Network starting at 9:00 tonight. So some late night volleyball on the West Coast for the ninth ranked Badger women's volleyball team. The Toronto Raptors will be hosting the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at 5:30. Guard Kevin Porter Jr. has a badly sprained left ankle, according to an MRI. And then you've got the World Series starting tonight. It'll be the Toronto Blue Jays and the LA Dodgers, game one of the World Series coming up tonight. Coming up next, Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, and we'll start by talking a little betting scandal and also getting into a new round of gerrymandering, this time in Virginia. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
We want to thank our listeners for following the rapid support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the rapid support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is a Friday morning, which means we're going to check in with Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil, and talk about some of the national headlines of the week. Kia, hello. How are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be at Friday and happy to have somebody who can take a few minutes and talk to me about this rather epic, shocking, well, maybe shocking is not the right word, national story about gambling and NBA players and organized crime. And I am looking like the most, you know, prescient, you know, question of the week writer ever when I wrote, you know, for last Sunday, what people thought about organized sports betting. I'm betting some people might have changed their answers since last weekend. How do you want to give the overview of what this is all about?
Yeah, so there on Thursday morning, the FBI arrested the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, who's a former NBA player, a current NBA player for the Miami Heat, Terry Rozier, and a former player and close confidant of LeBron James named Damon Jones, who's an assistant coach right now. Two different cases going on here, but basically Billups was indicted for allegedly participating in a years-long scheme to defraud poker players in like real-life games, and this reportedly involved members of the New York crime families. And Rozier is charged with allegedly taking himself out of a game early so that you know, someone he knew or co-conspirator could place a bet and win. These are sort of the results of another betting investigation into another player that most folks probably haven't heard of, named Jontay Porter. But basically, this is just the latest example of something we're seeing more and more in the last couple of years of pro athletes being investigated, indicted, and charged with basically rigging things, whether it's directly games they're involved in or off the court gambling endeavors. And I think we're going to see more of it. We, you know, this is part of a trend because over the last six, seven years, we have seen the doors just thrown open to sports betting, mobile sports betting. Every sports match you could think of, every sports program you can think of is now has like the ESPN bet or FanDuel or DraftKings. And it's just everywhere. And the only way out of this is to really tighten the reins on our sports betting and what these leagues and what these sports networks and what these athletes do. But I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. I think it's we unfortunately, this is the world we're in right now.
Yeah, I think the toothpaste is out of the tube. And yes, there are, I'm sure, people who are saying, hey, wait a minute, it wouldn't matter if it was legalized or not. People have been gambling, you know, throughout life. And, you know, there will always be people who play poker, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But I just feel like this has normalized betting it, that it's essentially a rite of passage among young men, that there's something wrong with you if you're not betting on something. And it's not just like the outcome. It's very tough for like an entire team to throw a game. It's this whole thing about prop bets. Yep. And, you know, will Kiev Akil play, you know, 32 minutes in this game? And, you know, if you take yourself out, oh, my arm is broken. You know, I mean, who's to know who's putting a prop bet on that? So when people say, well, there's always been gambling here. Yeah, but this has really opened up something where it's tough to put the toothpaste back in the tube here.
Yeah, and that's true. There always has been gambling. I grew up a couple hours from Atlantic City. I've been to Vegas. I have gambled. I play poker with friends. But there was friction in it. You had to go to a casino, or you had to obviously have a bookie, which technically not a thing you should have. But, you know, there was friction in it. You couldn't download an app and just while you're watching TV or in between scrolling Twitter and talking to your loved one, just place 18 bets. And now people can do that.
That's day trading. That's day trading is what it is. You know,
it's day trading. And it's what it's toxic, though, is I'm a sports fan. You're a sports fan. A lot of like it ties up day trading with a hobby. And that's really, really dangerous. And it's a hobby that most men have and a lot of women have. And it ruins lives. You can get really not all gambling, but lots of people have had their lives ruined by these apps. There are so many lawsuits right now because so many men have just gambled away their entire life savings. It has led to divorce. It has led to suicide. It is so toxic. And yes, that's not Chauncey Billups, but it's the same culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the number of stories I've done over the years as a reporter about embezzling, somebody embezzled from their small business and it went under, or their little league team and it went under. And in almost every case, it ties back to gambling debts. And so this is indeed a pretty big deal. Well, we'll get to one political story for the week. And this deals again on, you know, gerrymandering or redistricting, however you want to put it. It started with Texas Republicans, California Democrats, other states. The latest is Democrats in Virginia, which was a bit of a surprise to me. But now Democrats in Virginia, are they in a position to actually change the makeup of their congressional map?
Yeah, they could be. So the New York Times reported on Thursday that the Virginia Democrats in the legislature are basically going to hold a special session before the elections in 2 weeks to try to counter what Republicans have done in Texas and in North Carolina this week, most recently, by coming back and drawing new congressional maps. And so, you know, we'll see what happens if and when they actually come back. They have a very small majority in the chambers, so they would need pretty much every Democrat to support this. And they could do it if every Democrat does, despite a Republican governor. Youngkin could have no role in this, Glenn Youngkin, the governor. But this is essentially a response to North Carolina Republicans and Texas Republicans and pressure on Indiana Republicans. And Ohio is going to redraw their maps. And essentially, all of this is the result of Trump trying to predetermine the outcome of the 2026 midterms by having Republicans eliminate anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen Democratic-held seats, so that short of a blue wave, the election's decided before voters ever cast a ballot because the maps are so rigged that only Republicans can win. And it's, from my perspective, I don't like gerrymandering, but if we're going to, I don't think Democrats can just roll over and die and accept that they're never going to win because Republicans have just agreed that this is what they can do.
Yeah, this is not a chicken and egg debate. We know where this started with. Started with Donald Trump and Texas Republicans and everything that has flowed from it. Never mind what all happened in the past. Mm-hmm. This cycle, which is building to an extreme level, had its origin in Donald Trump, who again this week
was embracing 2020 election denial, again trying to put his thumb on the scales for the next round of midterm elections. Kiev Akil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor in Los Angeles. Kia, thanks very much. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thanks. You too, Pat.
We'll have today's history lesson after this. You're up north. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WFHR in the app and the news comes to you.
The pandemic may have been bleak for many of us, but for two UW-Platteville researchers, it provided a spark that inspired them to find a marketplace for spoiled milk. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. That story next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Whether it's the sound of the carnival or the taste of the cotton candy or your first blue ribbon, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to offer cash prizes for your fair stories. Entries are being accepted all summer long and there is no limit, so tell us all of your stories. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Dr. Joseph Wu, Associate Professor of Chemistry, and Dr. John Obalata, Chair of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering at UW-Platteville, found inspiration during the pandemic. While dairy farmers were forced to dump their milk because of processing shortfalls during the pandemic, it inspired the two to collaborate on taking that spoiled milk and turning it into a value-added product that can be used in 3D printing. Dr. Joseph Wu explains.
One category that strikes me is to help the farmer to improve the economy of the dairy farmers. And that just perfectly matches what we are looking for. We really want to make this project work so that in the future, we do not need to dump milk to the field anymore. We might be able to recover, recycle, reuse those materials for good purpose.
That's Dr. Joseph Wu, Associate Professor of Chemistry, along with his partner, Dr. John Obalata, the Chair of the Mechanical and Industrial Engineering Department on the UW-Platteville campus. They have come up with a patented process to convert casein and whey into durable, flexible materials that are suitable for 3D printing and beyond. Dr. Obalata tells me that the 3D printing industry today, worth about $20 billion, they hope Wisconsin dairy can get at least a slice of that action. That's one of the funded projects that will be highlighted during the Wisconsin Dairy Innovation Hub's free summit Tuesday, November 18th on the UW River Falls campus with virtual elements. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 40s to near 50 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop down to around 32 for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will do some recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Here we go. Santana lands their first number one album in the U.S. as Abrexas claims this top spot this day in 1970, 55 years ago today, with tracks like Oye Como Va and their cover of Fleetwood Mac's Black Magic Woman. Yeah, that was originally a Fleetwood Mac tune. Welcome to today's history lesson for this Friday morning, October 24th, which means if it's Friday, we get to welcome our pal, our buddy, our friend, our Pookie Bear, Greg Bach, ladies and gentlemen, from Matinair on Air, mornings 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am Pookie Bear, and I love Santana.
Hi, Pookie Bear.
Hello.
How's our Pookie Schmookie today?
Doing well. I got my coffee. I love listening to some Santana in the morning. I can't say it, but I love listening to it.
Uh-huh.
When I was 17 years old, I locked myself into my bedroom for a summer and just played basically this album, trying to learn all the songs.
And how did that go?
I would give it a solid 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Have you ever thought of, like, joining Max Inc. Radio or just bringing the guitar in yourself and just playing live during Matinair on Air?
Oh, I wouldn't do that to anyone.
That bad, huh?
No, I mean, you said 8.5 out of 10.
I mean, that was also many years ago, but I don't know. I mean, like, I've been playing little by little lately and just trying to, like, as a hobby, as mm-hmm. a time filler, as a whatever. But yeah, it's something I love guitars. I'm a huge guitar nerd, not just for like guitars, but like the history, the design, the building, everything. I could talk about them for hours. So, and I won't do that to you because it would just be me talking.
But honestly, you could not have picked better than Santana if you're gonna try to learn guitar. You may as well learn from the best.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Tony must have been thinking about this as well. He just put on YouTube. Have you thought about bringing a guitar camping and making everyone around the campfire listen to you?
No, I'm not 22 years old anymore.
Hey.
And Alicia says, good morning, Greg, as does Tony. Everybody's happy to have you here. On the birthday list today, happy birthday to former bass player for the Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman, still with us. He's 89 years old. So, speaking of prop bets.
Pretty sure his wife's like 44.
Who would have put a prop bet on any member of the Rolling Stones still being with us at age 89?
I think Brian Jones is the only one who's passed of the original.
I know.
Five.
I know.
Oh my! Well, that was the thing for so long, Pat. That of all these rock stars passing away over the years, the four original members of Black Sabbath had still been alive for so long. I'm like, I don't know how this works.
Well, I think it's sending the wrong message to our children. But then again, we were talking earlier about spiking everything under the sun, you know, lemonade and iced tea and everything. So I don't know. Maybe that's the way to go. Let's see. More birthdays. Drake, another Canadian export. He is 39 years old today.
Yeah.
That they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story.
Okay, now I get to sound like an old guy.
Oh boy.
And I try not to say this about most. People have, you know, a bass sound to them.
Yeah.
But in the case of Drake, I mean, they all do kind of sound the same to me.
Because Drake is basic and he is whatever. I'm so anti Drake. Yeah. Yeah,
all
no,
right.
No anyway. Drake, no Drake in this house.
So I guess you won't be sending him a birthday card today for his 39th birthday. On this day in 1992, a record was set with this song by Boyz II Men.
Yes, we have slow skate right now, folks. That's couples only slow skate.
Right. Ooh, the lights have been dimmed. Ooh, careful what you skate into with the lights dimmed like that. On this day, End of the Road tied Elvis Presley's Don't Be Cruel with Hound Dog on the B-side as the longest running number one single when it reached its 11th week at the top of the charts. End of the Road would then go on and spend two more weeks at number one, but then lose that record 3 months later when Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You stayed number one for 14 weeks in a row. The current record now has two songs on it, Greg. Last time around, we said that it was it's 19 weeks, and it was set in 2019 by Lil Nas X and Old Town Road. Mm-hmm. Did you realize it was tied last year by Shaboozy's A Bar Song, Tipsy, which also was the number one song for 19 weeks in a row?
There is such a deeper, nuanced discussion on that point that we don't have time to go into, but I will say, good on you, Shaboozy. I like Shaboozy.
Okay.
I'm really interested. Wait, can we dive into this?
Let's dive. Where are we going here?
It's just, it's a commentary on country music. And artists record and what constitutes country music, who's recording the song, reception from the country music and the mainstream audience on the whole. But like I said, that is for a podcast or sitting around a campfire while I'm forcing you to listen to me play Dave Matthews.
No. You'd have to play Bad Bunny because I want Bad Bunny now. We talked about this yesterday. I want him to do a thing with George Strait because if those country folks didn't like Old Town Road because it wasn't country enough, even though it had Billy Ray Cyrus, and they don't like Shaboozy and they don't like Bad Bunny, it's like, I mean, what are we going to do? Just listen to Anita Bryant records?
Oh, deep cut, buddy. Deep cut.
I know.
Deep cut.
All right.
If you have another 3 hours, I can talk to you about George Strait, too. And by the way, I'm going to go see Marty Stewart tonight, so I'm very excited.
Are you? That's great. Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to the history lesson here. 1987 now, when the number one album was by Michael Jackson. Tony's out here going, Neil McCoy for everyone. Are we just trying to come up with the most vanilla country singers?
I swear to God, Pat, Neil McCoy's good.
I didn't say it wasn't good, just not very...
Who's the spicy one then? Tell me some spicy ones.
I would say somebody like a Tim McGraw versus, say, an Alan Jackson who just stands there, or George Strait who just stands there. You know, Tim McGraw will put on a bit of a show. I think that's what we're talking about
here. I see what you're saying. Okay, all right. Yeah. I got you.
Weird little coincidence on the stock market. First off, on this day in 1929, it was Black Thursday. The Dow Industrials dropped nearly 13%, marking the start of the stock market crash and the Great Depression. But then on this day in 2008, the same date was Bloody Friday, when stock exchanges around the world dropped around 10%, kicking off the Great Recession. So maybe don't have any money in the markets today.
Also, we don't need such graphic. Like the next one is like, oh, Bummer Friday. There we go. How about
that? Road sucks kill Tuesday. Wednesday. And if you think those were bad days, on this day in the year 79 AD, Mount Vesuvius erupted, burying Pompeii and other cities and killing thousands. So
we call that Dusty Wednesday. Yeah. Wow. Fun little. I went to Memphis this past January, and there was. And so I did. So growing up, Graceland was just a house.
Yes.
Yeah. But Graceland is like a Disney World style park now. It's huge.
Yeah.
And it has its own like conference convention center. And there was a beautiful, like really like got you, like there was a lot of history, but it was all about Pompeii and exactly what happened on the day, what did it happen to, the fact that there was an effect on another town over.
At Graceland?
At Graceland.
What?
At Graceland. Because they have a huge convention center there, too. It's not just a house. In fact, I don't know where the house is, honestly, but on the side, there's a huge convention center where you would see, like, a Comic-Con or something, and it was a huge...
Just like that day, it happened to be the Pompeii thing. It's not a permanent fixture.
It was like a touring thing. It was like a museum.
I was about to say just stop competing. We've now found the most random tangent in a discussion ever. But no, it was not a regular thing. It was a traveling thing. Okay, yeah. Got it. Thank you. On this day in 2000, Lenny Kravitz released his greatest hits album, peaking at number 2, and it also featured this fresh track. This also got him his 3rd consecutive Grammy for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance. And when he asked about whether you could win it 4 years in a row, his team told him, keep your pants on, buddy. Anyway, also in 2000...
But not your shirt.
No. Also on this day in 2000, Linkin Park released their debut album, Hybrid Theory, bolstered by this hit. To me will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far. It almost feels weird to play the song at something other than 11 on the volume knob. It's just a turn it up, play this one loud.
Yeah.
So it also had the Grammy Award winning Crawling, and it became the best-selling album of 2001. All right, let's kick it real old school. There's a new song that hit the music charts this day in 1908. This is the original singer, by the way.
Katie was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad. Just to root for the hometown crew every Sioux. Katie Blue. On a Saturday, her young beau.
We're not going to talk
verses to this.
Like to go to see a show, but Miss Kate said no. I'll tell you what you can.
He sang this into a toilet roll in a hallway.
Take me out with the crowd.
Yes, take me out to the ball game. A brand new waltz was released this day in 1908 by Jack Norwood and Albert von Tisler. It would become the unofficial anthem of baseball, although at the time, neither man had attended a baseball game before writing the song.
Yeah.
Love that. Let's see, baseball-related things. You know, it was just last week sometime we mentioned Billy Martin being fired by the Minnesota Twins in, 1969?
He's been fired a lot.
Exactly, after winning a division title. Well, he went on to other things in 1974 on this day. He was named Manager of the Year working for the Texas Rangers. But 5 years later, on this day in 1979, Billy Martin was once again managing the Yankees and got into a fight with marshmallow salesman Joseph Cooper at a hotel in Bloomington down the road from the old Met Stadium. Cooper said Martin shouldn't have won Manager of the Year. Martin took a little offense to it. Martin bet the marshmallow salesman $500 that he could beat him up. Cooper took the bet. Martin won the bet by beating him up, but it cost him his job. George Steinbrenner fired him as Yankees manager a few days later.
That's purely a story that can only happen in baseball, like in the 60s and 70s and before. Like in the 90s, that ain't happening anymore. No. Like,
no. That is old school bar brawling right
there.
One more song on today's history lesson. Taylor Swift. Yes, she's back again, but this time we're going way back. 2006, she released her self-titled debut album. Summer gone, but when you think summer gone, I hope you think my favorite song, the one we dance to. Taylor wrote these during her freshman year of high school, and that song, Tim McGraw, was a top 20 single, and the album would peak at number 5 on the album chart and become the longest charting album of the 2000s in the U.S., logging 157 weeks on the chart by 2009. There.
I hope she makes another country record someday. Someday.
Do you think she remembers how? That's the big question.
She's too talented to forget.
Yep. All right, we'll wrap things up with Santana and pause here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Think Verizon, the best 5G network, is expensive? Think again. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store today, and we'll give you a better deal. Now, what to do with your unwanted bills? Maybe turn them into paper airplanes headed to see and ever, AT&T and T-Mobile. Jokes aside, the best 5G network has you covered with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So bring in your bill to your local Verizon store today, and we'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetric TrueScore per data to 1H2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid consumer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as a person with the deal. Additional terms apply.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others, and now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support for this Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. The show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our friends from UW-Madison Extension Wood County. We have Kazuo with us right now, bilingual community health worker. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, James?
Doing good. Appreciate the time, as always, and appreciate your patience with your name and me and all that. You're always too good to me. I appreciate it. And really appreciate the subject matter that you bring in. We oftentimes, you and I, get a chance to touch on a subject that we don't get to very often in society. A lot of gray areas you and I cover. And today is no different. We're going to get into a really interesting thing. We cope. Can you tell us what that is, Kazuo?
Yeah, so WECOPE is a evidence-based program that was developed by the University of Madison Extension. And this program is specifically designed to help adults cope with, like, the different challenges in life, right? And so it really taps into the power of, like, positivity. Instead of looking at things from the negative side of things, as we humans, we do normally, and we try to spin things and have the folks that we talk to and the participants look at the stressors of life from a different lens. And you know, that different lens, that positive lens, really truly does make a difference in how you see things. Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting approach to this. Mm-hmm. And it really piggybacks on something that's been a big part of our society for years now, and talking about mental health, and that we're at a stage now in the game where we're talking about it in a raised voice. We're not hushed anymore. We're not shy about sharing these things as much. But this is where the real work comes in now. Now that we've gotten the topic out there, now bring awareness to it, talking about it, that's great. But now we got to start looking in the mirror and got to start looking at ourselves and everything. And growing up, I come from a family that has some issues, manic depression, some depression, some of those things in my family's history. So I was aware of this from a very young age. And we've talked about mental health in my family for decades. It's always been a thing for us. And many families out there can relate to that. When it comes to being born this way with the brain that I got and stuff, and realizing very early on that I had a chemical imbalance, it was something that I grew up seeing broken bones all the time. My dad was an athlete. I could understand that. I couldn't understand the broken bone in my brain. I couldn't understand that. He couldn't physically see it. And it began something for me, a journey that I'm on still to this day. I got a certain point in my 20s where I was tired of being me. I was tired of that mood. I was tired of the way approach I had to life. I didn't look at the glasses half empty or half full. I'm like, oh, that's all I got to drink? How am I going to make that last? I'm so thirsty. You know, and it was a negative approach. And I got tired of being negative. I got tired of that. And I got, quite honestly, I got tired of my friends and family expecting that from me and being that. I didn't like being predictable. That was part of it. Yes. So I sit there like many do out there, and I'm looking in the mirror and I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, well, this is how I've been for 20 some years. I'm never going to change. Mm-hmm. But I did. You can rewire your brain. You really can do this. I started approaching every morning trying to look at positives. What am I thankful for? What am I, even the most simple thing of waking up. Mm-hmm. And it began this thing that started to happen in my brain to where I am today, where now negative things happen. And I immediately, it's like a literal reflex in my brain. I think of, well, at least this didn't happen, or at least this, I find some way to turn that positive. Some way, I don't take away the negativity. It's not like I'm walking around all day smiley or anything like that. Anybody around me could tell you this. But my approach is so vastly different. And anybody that knew me 30 years ago to now would not even recognize me as a person with how much I've grown in that way. I still got work to do. I'm still working on it every day, but it is so much better. My life is so much better. My kids enjoy me around so much more. It can happen. Even when you have these chemical imbalances, even when it feels like it's something out of your hands, you can do this. You can accomplish this. It begins with you, but you're not alone in it either.
Yeah, 100%, James. And thank you for being vulnerable. Really, like you said, you hit it right on the spot. It doesn't happen overnight. It really, truly doesn't. It does take a huge mind shift change. And it really takes the support of those around you, right? For if those around you who are constantly, if they notice that you're trying to make this shift, this change to be more positive and have a better outlook on life, and they're constantly dragging you down, are they truly the people that you want to be around with, right? And so you have to surround yourself with very like who want to make that positive change. And so this is one thing with We Cope too. And I teach it now, but before I taught it, I wanted to take the course itself to see how it benefited people. And I'm going to give you a minute of my vulnerability. I am a mental health survivor. And so, and I've been struggling with my own mental health since my early teens, really. And being where I am today, I credit it to myself and the people around me, but also to We Cope. It's been a little over a year since I've taken this We Cope class, but I still carry a lot of these lessons with me day to day. And, one of the biggest things with this class, this program that we teach, is how can I, like you said, how can I take the negative and reframe it to make it into a positive, right? And like you said, I'm not Miss Unicorn and Rainbows every single day. But at the same time, I know that there's a reason why there was that negative. But how can I change it to be positive so that it doesn't affect me? And it really, truly makes a huge difference. Or something that I teach a lot, one of our sessions in this class is, how can you be mindful, right? And so when you think of mindfulness, you think of like big things. And here, I always say, like this, for example, this summer, I had some programming and I was like, So being mindful, what does that make you think of? And they're thinking of like just the big things, meditation and this and that. And it was like huge things, which I was like, this is great. But have you ever thought about being mindful when you're doing your laundry? And that was, I had the most confused looks.
Really. I'm sure, yeah.
When you say being mindful doing your laundry, but it's taking your time going through the pockets, right? You can find money, you can find wrappers, pens, whatever it is, but really taking your time. Oh, that shirt's inside out or that sock. And so it's just really taking the time and looking through things and not rushing. And I think as a society, we're always on the go and it's a rush, rush, rush world that we live in now and the instant gratification. And we cope is one of those things that really...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A top U.S. official weighs in from Israel on President Trump's decision to call off trade talks with Canada over an ad using snippets of a former president talking about tariffs. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio just told reporters it took Ronald Reagan's words out of context, and he has not spoken with Canada's foreign minister.
The entire East Wing is now demolished, and a lawsuit's been filed to prevent further damage to the White House as the president makes way for a massive new ballroom. This tourist observed...
I think it's going to end up looking gaudy. I think this is about him trying to put his gold embossed Trump stamp on the building itself.
Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier's attorney defending his client after he was netted in the federal crackdown on a massive gambling ring.
There's a lot of people that are very close-lipped about what happened in 2023, but what I was told is there was an investigation. They interviewed him twice. They took his phone, downloaded everything, and at the end of the day, they said there's nothing to see here and cleared him.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.